Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Welcome back into the Eric Ainge Show. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group, and if you're planning to buy a home this year, ask yourself this: is it still a good time to buy? Is it even possible? Rest assured that the real estate industry is not shut down, and it's possible to find, tour, finance, and even close on a home virtually anywhere. MIG is ready to help you get pre-qualified through a complete touch-free process. You can find out more at MIGonline.com.
We're celebrating the life this morning of Tennessee legend John Majors, who passed away at his home this morning at the age of 85. A statement released by his family this morning with this quote from his wife, Mary Lynn Majors. Quote, "It's with a sad heart we make this announcement. John passed away this morning. He spent his last hours doing something he dearly loved, looking out over his cherished Tennessee River." Unquote. He was the Heisman Trophy runner-up as a player at Tennessee before going on to return to coach the Vols from 1977 through 1992. After winning a national championship at Pittsburgh, left a team that he won a national championship with to come home to Tennessee to rebuild a Vols program that had slipped, and he built it back into a national powerhouse again, one that when he left in 1992 was ready to go on an unprecedented run of success. Ironically, he was Heisman Trophy runner-up, and then in the first year after he left Tennessee, the Vols had a Heisman Trophy runner-up of their own with Heath Shuler. So the legacy will endure forever as number 45 retired by Tennessee back in 2012.
I don't know what the bigger hose job is. Peyton Manning not being the Heisman Trophy winner over, you know, to Charles Woodson, or Johnny Majors not being the Heisman Trophy winner over with Paul Hornung, who was on a 2-8 Notre Dame team. The only time a Heisman's ever been awarded to to someone on a losing team.
We go now to the Stanley Fitz and Gates Hotline and welcome in someone who knew Coach Majors very well, both covering him as a member of the media and then having him alongside for segments on his own radio show, and that's our own Jimmy Himes. Jimmy, good morning. A sad morning as we've lost Coach Majors.
It really is a sad morning. It's a sad morning for the Tennessee family, the Majors family, the Vol Nation, for the many players that he coached, for the many coaches that coached for him. Brian, it's sad for me, too. I had developed a really good relationship with him. We had him on the air for a number of years as a regular guest during football season. He was a great storyteller. We ended up playing golf a couple of times through the way, this was kind of odd, but I kept in touch with him. So I happened to call him May the 21st, and that was his birthday. I didn't know it was his birthday, but he told me it was his birthday. We had a good visit, talked about it, and the last thing he told me was, he said, "Look, we need to do lunch. As soon as this virus clears up, we're going to go have lunch." I said, "You got it." He said, "Don't you forget to call me." I said, "I won't." But that was the last conversation we had, and just so sad that he's passed away. He had had a stroke maybe 6 months ago or so. It was sometime last year, mm-hmm. and I think he struggled from that a little bit after that. But really enjoyed covering him. But there aren't many coaches, and Eric, I've heard y'all talk about stories about him, and he's a really funny guy. But there aren't many coaches in my career, and I've been doing this a long time, that I enjoyed covering more than Coach Majors.
I mean, Coach Majors was, and everyone references the storytelling and all that. And like, we can all remember plays from our playing career. And I have not coached, nor will I coach, so I don't know if I would be this way. But I've been around a lot of coaches, and not all of them were nearly as good as Johnny Majors. Johnny Majors could remember every play from when he played. He could remember plays and different things. I mean, much like yourself for what you've covered, Jimmy. But John Majors could remember, you could say, hey, what second quarter 1984 against Alabama, game was here, and you guys went for two instead of kicking an extra point in the second quarter. He'd go, well, it's because, and he'd have a whole story about it.
Yeah, he sure would. He had a great memory about that, a great memory about the games in which he played in the 50s, the games in which he coached.
Yeah.
And, he could tell you in detail, and it was great about remembering the scores as well, the final scores of games. He had a terrific memory in that regard, which I think, Eric, that served him well as a coach because he remembered details, and as a coach, he was a stickler for details. He wanted everything to be just right, whether it was the step of a defensive back or the release of a quarterback's pass. He was really into all that, and I think that's what made him a heck of a football coach.
Jimmy, his tenure at Tennessee included the 1986 Sugar Bowl and that team that is so well remembered, but also back-to-back SEC champions in 1989 and 1990. What do you remember about some of those teams? Is it took him a long time to build Tennessee back the level of success to which he was accustomed, but once he did, it seemed like they stuck right there.
Yeah, and I think it was he was there about. I think it was his ninth year back at Tennessee before Tennessee won the SEC championship. My first season of covering Tennessee was 1985, so I was treated to a great season. That was a team that wasn't expected to be that good. It was good on offense because they had Tony Robinson and Tim McGee, but defensively they had a bunch of no-name players. And that team lost only one game all year. They lost to Florida at Florida, and that was a great Florida team. But they won every other game except for a couple of ties along the way. And that was one of the most enjoyable seasons I've ever had covering Tennessee because that was an overachieving group of players. And when they went to Miami, I remember Jimmy Johnson, Miami's coach, and this is paraphrasing, but he basically said, you know, it's not a matter of whether we're going to beat Tennessee, it's by how much. And when we do, we're going to win the national championship because Penn State or somebody had lost. Well, that didn't sit well with Tennessee. And if the Superdome, it must have been 65,000 Tennessee fans there. It was incredible, the orange that was there, and there were very few Miami fans. And then Tennessee dominated that game 35-7. Well, after that season, they took a little bit of a dip. They went 7-5, and then they started the 8-8 season 0-6. But then they bounced back. They won the last five that year. They bounced back in 89-90, and they did it with some great young players like Chuck Webb and Carl Pickens. They did it with some great junior college players like Chuck Smith and Chris Mims and Dale Carter. And he had a really good run there his last few years at Tennessee. But it did take him a while to rebuild it. Once he got it there with the blip in 1988, they were pretty darn good.
Jimmy, Joel Silverberg related this story on Twitter a little earlier, and I'd forgotten, but this is one of my favorites. You guys had John Bexford on the show a few years ago, and he revealed that the go-ahead extra point attempt at Notre Dame, the laces were in. And you and John then asked Coach Majors about that later that week, and his reaction was almost like he was ready to go coach right then and there.
Yeah, he was. And that was funny, but Bexford telling that story and then John Majors recounting it, but there were a lot of stories like that. The story that I remember about that also, the miracle at South Bend. So Tennessee, gosh, they're down 31-7 late in the first half, if memory serves. And then Tennessee ended up scoring right before the half, and it's 31-14. Well, one or two of Major's brothers that lived in Chattanooga were at the game, and they had flown to the game with some friends, and the friends said, we're out of here, we're leaving. And the brother said, I'm not leaving. They said, well, then you can get your own way home. So they left at halftime. They flew home. As soon as they landed in Chattanooga, Jeremy Lincoln blocked the field goal with his butt. Tennessee won it. And Major's brother told those guys, I'll never go to another football game with you scoundrels. But his brothers missed the game, the second half comeback, because the guys he was with on the flight said, no, we're out of here.
That was one of the legendary moments of the coaching career. Jimmy, I know his tenure at Tennessee didn't end the way it wanted, and that's part of the story and not something you want to focus on. But, you know, the way that Tennessee was able to re-embrace him in the mid-2000s, retire his jersey number before the Florida game in 2012, and let him know that, you know, he is a founding member of this Tennessee football family, as is his entire family. The Majors family in Tennessee are synonymous. What was it like for him to be able to be welcomed back into the fold and be honored before games and during games later on in his life?
Oh, it meant a lot to him. It meant a lot. He did not want to be ostracized. And so when Tennessee welcomed him back, he was welcomed at practice by the various coaches at Tennessee. He was welcomed in the press box. Heck, he was even allowed to park wherever he wanted to. He's pretty famous for just parking somewhere on the street. And one time he got a ticket for parking on Johnny Majors Boulevard. And Carmen Tigana, when I said, you can't give him a ticket for parking on his boulevard. So they took care of the ticket for him. But he enjoyed being back. He enjoyed going to the football offices. He enjoyed the coaches and being around the program. And that needed to happen. It really needed to happen. And I'm glad that at least they got that fixed so that he would be welcomed back to Tennessee with open arms as far as going to practice and football games.
Jimmy Himes right now. Jimmy, one of the things that I think was cool about Johnny Majors, and you can just tell this from all the social media stuff. I'm reading social media interaction about him right now, and you rarely ever hear anybody say anything bad about Johnny Majors. There's people, everyone has their experiences, but when it comes to speaking publicly, like everybody likes him, and I think he was one of the you could call it old school if you wanted to. The best coaches we have now still do this, but he was so upfront and blunt with his players. Yeah. They knew where they stood with him, and even if they didn't like what they were hearing, they could at least respect it. And I think that's why that he was able to turn Tennessee into such a powerhouse, you know, there towards the end of his tenure.
Yeah, I think so. I thought he did a really good job in evaluation. I thought he was a very good teacher, as we saw in the release from the family, that they felt like one of the reasons that so many of his assistant coaches went on to be head coaches was because he did such a great job of teaching them. And Major said he was taught very well by his dad, who was a longtime and very successful coach as well. So I think that filtered down. But one other thing Majors did that I really appreciated, when he came back to Knoxville after he had been at Pittsburgh, he started these monthly luncheons. He had a variety of guest speakers. They might be on sports. It might be on the Civil War. It might be on something else about history. It might be on the symphony, whatever it was. But he organized these things, which I thought was really neat for him to do. And he also was he could laugh at himself. And that was another endearing quality I thought that he had, because there were some people who would kind of poke fun at him at these meetings and stuff, and he'd laugh along with it. But he wanted to be involved in the community. He wanted to put together those type things. And he had a really loyal group of friends that that appreciated him. And I appreciated him, too. From my perspective in the media of covering him, there might have been a time I'd go to him and say, hey, Coach, I've heard this. You know, I'm just checking on it. And he said, I don't know. I'll get back with you, but I don't know the answer right now. And he'd write it in a notebook. He always carried a notebook. It might be notes about practice. It might be notes about to remind him or whatever. He'd get back with you and say, okay, here's what I got. And then he would tell you what was going on. He always had a good relationship, I thought, with the media, because he knew and he understood the role of the media.
Jimmy, I know it's going to be a day of remembrances as you and John get together for Sports Talk this afternoon. I know there'll be a lot of memories. Do you have any of that lined up that you can share with us at this point?
I don't yet. I will get it lined up. I've got some guests in mind that I'm going to try to get on to talk about him. I've got a handful of folks, I don't have it lined up yet. We will share that as soon as we get it, but I've not got confirmation at this point. But hopefully we will have a lot of guests to talk about him and to relive some of the great moments with John Majors.
I know it'll be a great day to listen to the sports show of record for Tennessee fans. That's Sports Talk here on the Sports Animal 991, thesportsanimal.com worldwide. Coming up at 3, Jimmy, thanks so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it on this tough day for the Tennessee family.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it, and certainly he is going to be missed by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Us included. Jimmy Himes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Jimmy Himes, and again, sports talk coming up today at 3 on the Sports Animal in Knoxville, 991thesportsanimal.com to listen worldwide as the remembrances of Johnny Majors will continue. Eric, we'll have more on Coach Majors, and we'll take your phone calls, 656-9900, 866-656-9900 on the Eric Ainge Show.
Fate had it. My principal at Oak Ridge High School in Orlando was a Tennessee grad, football player, Bill Spoon. So when Tennessee played in the Citrus Bowl, 1983, of course, Mr. Spoon arranged for the team to play practice at our school, which was a thrill for me. We played Rocky Top as the team got off the bus onto the field. I was a football player, so, and a Tennessee boy, so big thrill of my life. But I'll never forget, and I was all dressed in orange. My principal walked me down to Coach Majors, and I got to shake his hand, and it was just a great moment for me. And I just appreciate y'all, and it's going to be tough for the Tennessee family today. And I thank y'all so much.
No, it is, you're Chris. Good, man. And we thank appreciate you for calling, it. Chris. You're not the only one getting choked up on the radio this morning. It's all right, man.
No, it's a sad day for the Tennessee family, and will be a sad week. You know, Pat Dye of Auburn passed away just a couple of days ago. They were two of the big figures in the coaching world in the SEC in the 1980s, as that was an annual rivalry at the time. Tennessee and Auburn was as hotly contested as Tennessee-Florida is today. It was the other big rivalry with Tennessee-Alabama. And although there was always a healthy respect, because Auburn fans always said they respected anybody who hated Alabama as much as they did. That was a special time in the 80s before SEC expansion ended that annual rivalry. Let's go next to Jacob. Jacob, welcome into the EA show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, good morning.
Man, it is a sad day. I was saddened to turn on the radio and listen to you guys announce the passing of Coach Majors. A few people, men or women, have given their all for Tennessee as much as John Majors did as a player and a coach. And there's a lot of different aspects you could look at to his legacy to celebrate. But if you would, you guys are going to have people on all day talking about him, like Bob Kessling and whatnot. I'd like you to ask Bob or somebody that you have on just about Johnny Majors' coaching tree. I mean, he was able to collect a lot of talent on his coaching staff throughout the years, and those coaches went on to become successful head coaches. And if you would just touch on that with one of your guests, and it's a sad day. And I'll leave you with this. Just imagine the state of Tennessee football and athletics if Coach Majors doesn't decide to leave Pittsburgh after he's coached a Heisman Trophy winner, won a national title, is holding his own in the state of Pittsburgh in the region with Joe Paterno. I mean, he had it rolling. You just don't see coaches make the kind of sacrifice these days that Majors did to come back to a program that was nowhere near national prominence of Pittsburgh at the time. And it's just a sad day, man. Have a good one.
It is, Jacob. We appreciate it. 656-9900, if you want to join us. A couple of things that Coach Majors brought to Tennessee. One was the Vol walk.
Underrated thing that he did.
Yeah.
People don't talk about it often.
October 20th, 1990 was the first Vol walk at Tennessee. Earlier in the year, Tennessee had gone to Auburn, and Majors saw how the Tiger fans embraced and loved the tradition of the Tiger Walk and said, you know, we need to do this because we have to go from the football complex to the stadium on game day anyway. It's an easy journey for our guys to make, and we could have the same kind of impact on our fans that Auburn has. It was the fact that the team buses were late to the stadium at Auburn that day because they were held up by the Tiger Walk that was the impetus for starting it at Tennessee. But October 20th, 1990 was the first Vol walk, and had the opportunity when I was at UT to talk to Coach Majors about setting that up and getting that rolling. But another Tennessee tradition that he was responsible for. 656-9900, if you want to join us, let's talk to Chris next. Chris, welcome into the EA show.
Hey, guys. Hey, I teach a spinning class at Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center, and I usually wear a big Power T jersey. And I'm walking out, and there's this old man, gray, orange, with a checkerboard mask. And I said, hey, there's a ball. And so we had this exchange, and he goes, I need somebody with fast legs. You need to be my running back, you know. And so we were talking. He pulls down his mask. It's Coach Johnny Majors. And that was Monday, and it was a cool deal, and just a tribute to him.
That's absolutely awesome, Chris.
That's awesome. A cool final time to see him. Chris, we appreciate it. Eric, special guest coming up next.
Yeah, we're going to have Carl Pickens join us here coming up on the other side, Vol for Life, and phenomenal athlete and wide receiver from the 80s, coached by none other than the late Johnny Majors. So when we get back from this next break, we're going to be joined by Carl Pickens.
That's next on the Eric Ainge Show.
Great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on the Sports Animal.
All right, sad news. Legendary Vol coach Johnny Majors passed away this morning. He coached the Vols from 1977 through 1992, and he won 160 games while losing 62 games. He was 85 years old. A potential timeline has been shared with the NBA teams for the proposed 22-team format. The league's return on July 31st in Orlando, Florida. That timeline has the last possible date for a finals game 7 would be October 12th. Commissioner Adam Silver is expected to propose a vote to the Board of Governors on Thursday. And according to Matt Zintz of AL.com, Alabama redshirt junior wide receiver Tyrell Shavers has entered the transfer portal. And Nashville Super Speedway in Wilson County will reopen in 2021 to host a NASCAR Cup Series race at a very tentative date of June 20th. It was built and opened back in 2001, but was closed in 2011. Good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Then I get another one, and then my sister called me, and then, you know, now I'm talking to you. It's sad. You know, I was Coach Major's biggest fan. I tell you, he had left me a message about a week ago, and prior to that, we had kept in contact. We would talk every now and then. I've still got the messages that he left me. I'll probably never erase them. Just sad. I mean, just a hell of a coach, hell of a person. Was always fair. Was always just straight up. I mean, this is sad, you know, because, again, we had talked a few months ago and we left each other messages. He had called me one time. He was on his way to Nashville to speak at some event a couple of months ago. He left me a message, and then he left me a message last week. So it's disappointing, but I hate it, but I'm just glad that I got an opportunity to be around him for 3 or 4 years, and then after that, just sad.
Talking with Vol for Life, Carl Pickens. Carl, you know, one of the things that I think that we as – and not just as Tennessee football players alike, but as young 18 to 22-year-old young men growing up, learning, some people are more vocal than others, but all of us are very perceptive, and we hear everything and watch everything. And one of the things that I hear from a lot of guys that played for Coach Majors, and this is one of the attributes that I think all great coaches have, but they're genuine, they're honest, and they're passionate. Can you speak to just how to the passion that he had for football and the kind of affection that had on the rest of you guys?
Sure, Coach Majors. I mean, his passion was for football was just very high. He played football. He understood football. He coached it. He taught it, and he just demanded just that. He taught us that discipline, you know, the attention to detail, and it carried over. I mean, one of the main lessons that I'm never going to forget about Coach Majors was he would always say, always be 5 minutes early for everything and anything. And even to this day, I mean, if you tell me 10 o'clock, you know, I'm there at 9:55. It's just his presence. I mean, this guy was a legend, and just the way he handled all the personalities that were on the team. I mean, teams when I was there, you know, he brought us all together, and you know, we thought as one, we worked as one, we played as one. Just an unbelievable man in every form, every fashion, every way, you know, you can think about it. More than just a football player, more than just a coach, you know, more than just a person, just a truly genuine individual. And it's sad again, because again, we've kept in touch, you know, I keep in touch with my old receiver coaches and Coach Fulmer and Kippy Brown and Charles Coe, and just, but Coach Majors, man, he's at the top. He's the pinnacle. He's just the one. I mean, you know, Coach Fulmer was the offensive coordinator, and Coach Fulmer was just, I mean, he was the real deal, man. He came to Murphy in 88, recruited me, and from that day on, I mean, we just had this bond, this relationship, this understanding. And, you know, that carried over into, you know, things off the field. You know, we would talk about stuff off the field, you know, other than football. So we could, he knew me, you know, in more ways than one. He knew me other than, you know, being a football player. He got to know me as an individual. And, you know, that carries a lot of weight. And it still does. Like I said, I try to be 5 minutes early for everything. So because of him, you know. And it's disappointing, but I understand it, you know, and he will definitely be missed by me, you know, the people around me. I'm getting, this phone is going off, text, you know, emails, voice messages. I mean, just the whole nine. Oh, yeah. I mean, just, I'm definitely going to try to, you know, carry on his legacy and just continue to do the things that he, you know, wanted us to do as individuals.
VFL Carl Pickens joins us here on the Eric Ainge Show. You won two SEC championships your first 2 years at Tennessee, but when you were being recruited out of Murphy, North Carolina, they're in the midst of the 0-5 start, or the 0-6 start, and then finishing with the 5 straight wins. What was that message coming into your freshman year of, hey, that's not us, we're going to build something? And then how did Coach Majors and the staff accomplish that with you guys?
Well, Coach Majors, he didn't come to see me play football. He came, the visit, when he came, I was playing basketball. It was during basketball season.
Yep.
And he watched me play basketball. And he just talked about the receiver tradition. You know, he had mentioned, you know, Stanley Morgan, you know, Tim McGee, Joey Klingscales, Anthony Miller, you know, all the guys, Willie Gault, you know, those guys that were before me. And he felt like, he said, hey, you know, I think you can be on this same level. And, you know, at that time, I was seriously considering South Carolina. Actually, had just gotten back from a visit there the week prior. And liked the campus, what I thought, you know, from what I saw, I liked it down there. And then, you know, Coach Majors comes in, and just the feeling I had for him. My parents enjoyed being around him. They had a good feel for him. And then, you know, on top of that, Kippy Brown came a couple of weeks later, and I was sold, man. And it worked out. You know, he didn't talk too much about the 0-5, and he just talked about the tradition, you know, being a ball receiver, you know, carrying on the tradition, and, you know, the attention to detail that these receivers deal with. And, you know, he talked about Willie Gault, Tim McGee, you know, all the big names guys that had already been there and done that. And he just felt like I could carry on that tradition, and I bought it. And, you know, luckily for me and fortunate for me, it worked out.
I don't know if I'd say luckily. I mean, your catch radius was stupid. You could catch balls that were nowhere near you. I mean, it would have been great to play with you. I'm sitting here listening. You mentioned these guys off, and it sparked a conversation for us another day, Brian. The best decade of Tennessee wide receivers. Who do you pick? 70s, 80s, 90s? Because I'm leaning 80s. Carl, I know where you're partial on that one, but I got a funny story for you, Carl.
Well,
Go ahead.
Well, I tell you what, I just got a picture. This is Wednesday. I just got a picture on Monday. Alvin Harper sent me a picture of myself, him, Anthony Miller, Vince Moore, and Lee Wood. It was our I guess the, during the picture day, he just sent that to me on Monday, and then I sent it to a few people, and it's like, yep, wide receiver you, that's us.
Bunch of ballers, I mean, in that picture.
Bunch of ballers, yeah. So we had a good time. I mean, it was great. I mean, that's we put our stamp on it while we were there.
You know, Carl, we used to – the quarterbacks always kind of do their own thing, you know, during some of the drills and some of the periods. We're a different breed. And one of the things we used to do, we would do pooch punts and try to pin the ball down there and see how good we could do the pooch punts. And then we would do a little one-on-one jump ball, try to, you know, back shoulder fades and try to toe tap. And we were pretending we were athletes when there was no one covering us. And we had a walk-on who's an NFL coach now and has gone on to do great things, Jim Bob Cooter, and he wore number 15. And any time he would jump up and make a catch and toe tap in the corner, he would yell Pickens.
Wow. That's awesome. I tell you, what we didn't realize it at the time, man. We just wanted to play and just have a good time. And now, you know, we look back on it, we hear these stories and wide receiver you, and it's just amazing because we didn't realize it at that time that we were in that situation. We were just still in that competitive mode to where we just want to play and go out and win and, you know, make plays and do good things. So looking back on it now, I mean, you know, I got this picture, like I said, from Alvin, and then Vince Moore sends it, and then, you know, Lee comments on it. So it was just one of those periods of times that, you know, I know for me, I'll never forget.
Well, you know, and when you look back at that time, obviously you don't necessarily, they're not involved in your every single day life, but your decisions that you make, hanging out, learning, wanting to better, you know, the passion, being genuine, all those things that we're talking about this morning, often that comes from the father figure that you get when you're on campus, which is your head football coach. And again, you know, we'd love to have you on every single day, but I text you this morning because, you know, we're remembering Johnny Majors, and, you know, he's before all of our time on the field, but we've all learned what an amazing player he was. I mean, that had to, you know, Johnny Majors, I always thought the best coaches were guys that were okay at football because they couldn't just go out there and ball out. They weren't just better than everybody else, throw it up, I'll catch it. You know, when you learn the details, then you can become someone like yourself, but usually it's guys like Dabo, guys like Nick Saban. You know, they're smaller, they're not as athletic. They had to have that intangible that made them great. Johnny Majors was a college football Hall of Fame player and turned out to be this kind of a coach. That's rare.
Yeah, and he wasn't shy about telling you that he was the runner-up for the Heisman, I think in 56, I think it was. So, you know, he was just that kind of guy. Very subtle, but, you know, bragged a little bit because he earned that right. Hey, I'm the runner-up, you know, from this Heisman. So you just took bits and pieces from him. Like I said, for me, Coach Majors got to know more about me than just a football player. We could relate to other things. And, again, just his presence. I mean, you know, you felt that being around, you know, Pat Summitt, when she would come to the cafeteria and when she would come to Gibbs is no longer there, but, you know, just the guys,
R. I mean,
the football guys, just the respect. Yeah, just she would just to command the respect that, you know, these two individuals had. But Coach Majors, man, I'm telling you, I said it before, you know, I'm always, always going to be his biggest fan, always.
Carl Pickens, we thank you so much for your time this morning as we remember Coach Majors. There's nobody that did it better at the wide receiver position for a long time at Tennessee and on in the NFL, but appreciate your time this morning as we remember Coach Majors. Hope we can catch up with you again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
See you, man. Talk to you soon.
That is VFL Carl Pickens joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline this morning as we remember Johnny Majors, who passed away this morning at the age of 85. We'll return with more here on the Eric Ainge Show. In to the EA Show.
Hello, Brian. How y'all doing?
We're doing good, man. I typed VFL in my phone, and it brings up everyone that is in the Vol for Life list in my cell phone. And sure enough, right there in the bottom, towards the in the S's, was Snapper. And I almost texted you and told you to call in, so I'm glad we're on the same page.
Let me tell you this story about Coach Majors. I was a student over there when he came back, and he decided that he was going to have a skull session with the students in the old student activity center, whatever they called it, in the theater. And he would bring the film of the Saturday game and a coach and talk about the game on Monday to students.
What?
And I just thought that was so great. And, you know, as the season progressed, we didn't do too well, and we lost a game, and I'll never forget this. I showed up at the skull session at the time, and there was about 10 people in the theater. And he went over the film, and then he said, "Y'all come on down here." And he got up on the stage and sat down on the stage, and there's about, like I said, about 10, maybe 15 people in there. And he talked to us about an hour about Tennessee football. And I'll never, ever forget that, how much he loved Tennessee football, how much he loved, involving the students in Tennessee football. And that was big to me.
I can't believe you would have, as a coach, I mean, can you imagine a coach doing that today, coming in?
No.
And on Monday, sitting down and talking
to students?
It would
never happen.
No. Forget the chalk talk part, just talking to them, period.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and the theater in the student center was just, it was, you know, he'd do that every Monday. And he'd bring a coach, and, you know, you could ask questions, and, of course, everybody did. But just him sitting on that stage, I'll never forget, he just sat down on the stage and looked at us and talked to 15 people like we were the most important people in the world at the time. And that just amazed me. And I always appreciate Coach Majors for that.
You know, Snapper, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Keep going. Sorry.
No, I said whatever he, you know, what he did for our program, bringing it out of the ashes, and I was at Thompson Bowling the night he came in and said he wanted fans that blood run the deep orange. And what's my favorite Johnny Majors saying?
Beat the rush.
88.
And out the gate. Yep.
He said there was a back plan for this team, and it was 88 and out the gate, adios, Kazoos.
that was on every one of our schedules. So when you go to practice, you know, you get the schedule, it's all printed out, and it says, you know, this period, that period. But at the end, every day, it would say 88 and out the gate. And that was the time I'd look at it. Boys, we got till 3:45 today, and then it's 88 and out the gate. Let's go.
And adios, Kazoos.
Thank you. We appreciate you. We appreciate you, and we'll have more of your memories coming up on the Eric Ainge Show.